Welcome to another fine edition of the Sega Bits podcast, episode 10, nicely titled Hack It To Me. On this podcast, I am joined by the Sega Source writer, Corey, or as everyone else knows him, Sega Uranus.
Oi.
Also joining me this time around is N-Sega 54, which everyone else should know as Shadow Legend, or as we all know him, Benj.
Yeah.
And we also have Kermit the Frog in the form of George.
Yes, that's me, Kermit the Frog, apparently. Or, as Shiggs likes to say, Constipated Stoner. Anyway.
Right, so we'll start this edition. As always, we start with what we've been up to recently. Ben, what have you been doing?
Well, since last week, not too much. Just kind of moving stuff around. I moved from one location to the other. Haven't gotten to play a lot of video games. I really want to play Shadow of the Damned, though. I'm badass. That's about it.
Yeah, that game like came out of nowhere.
EA sucks.
Yeah, we were talking about this because a lot of people on NeoGAF were talking about how EA would have done so much better promotion for Bayonetta than Sega did. If Shadow of the Damned is any like hint on promotion, they're not doing a very good job because I thought it was going to come out next year, and it came out yesterday. Yeah. So
this is probably the first time I actually don't know an EA game is being released.
It's from Suda51. He's the man. And it's kind of a bummer that he can't get a publisher who wants to market his games.
Hey, didn't you meet Suda?
Yeah, I saw him for like a second at the airport and when I was on my way home from Sonic Boom. Yeah. It was pretty cool. He was just on a bus. I sat across from him.
Doing what he does best. Thinking about dick jokes.
He had the coolest shoes on, too. He was like black and white, like spotted, like checkerboard shoes. It was so cool.
Yeah, it's funny because he also did that one game for Sega, the Shining Soul game. Before he was Suda51, he was all famous. I thought it was probably the best Shining game since three.
Yeah, I personally really like Shining, so especially not the first one. I really like the second one, especially the art direction. They went really way back to the original Shining Forces art direction.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job on those.
So what about you, George? What have you been up to?
Not much, really. It's a lot of going around places, hanging out with people, but like I haven't really even played games this whole week, so I can't really talk about a game I played, which kind of sucks because I have stuff to have to review, and it's like I see that PS3 there gathering dust, and I'm like, you know what, man? Tomorrow, I'm sleepy. So tonight I'm going to have to get down and go through Virtual Tennis 4. It's a good game. I played when I first got it, I played 5 hours of it, so it's not like...
Do you like tennis?
Do I like tennis? No, yeah. I don't like tennis. I like Virtual Tennis, though. I like the arcade-style tennis. Like, if it was super realistic, that wouldn't have been for me.
Yeah, okay. Well, I suppose that tells us how good Virtual Tennis is. A non-tennis fan enjoying a tennis game.
There you go.
Thanks.
What about you, Aki?
Oh, well, mine. Since I haven't been on the podcast in a while, there's a lot of things I can talk about. I managed to see two films, Kung Fu Panda 2 for my nephew. He wanted to have a look at it.
Is it as good as the first one?
I'd say a few things are better than the first one. I was actually really surprised when I saw the first one because DreamWorks, I usually think, don't make that much good films, but the original Kung Fu Panda was, like, out of the ordinary. The second one, like, music and comedy and character dialogues, they've all improved, but there's, like, certain things like the new characters and the new villain, I think they're a bit of a... They're not as good as the original characters you had.
Did you know that one guy that we have on our forums, I forgot his name now, he says he works for Dreamcast. What's his name?
Rad Rappy.
There you go. He said that part two was going to suck, so I just wanted to know. I haven't seen either, so.
That's what I didn't really understand, because he said it sucked, but it's like, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, it's like 88% fresh ratings with all the critics and higher than the original, so it's like, I really don't know what he was saying, because I really honestly think it's. Yeah, go on, say.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Rare F is kind of like a negative
my
about
accent.
Like, Rare F is super negative about everything, so I didn't really pay attention to that. So.
No, that's true. But, so at the end, I'll probably give it like an 8 or a 9 out of 10. I think it's like, it's sort of almost on Toy Story's quality, but it's just missing like the extra 20 minutes to push it there.
Did the movie make
but
you
it
cry?
Was, I think some people might cry because this basic storyline is, Gary Oldman, who plays an evil peacock, he's been responsible for destroying Pao's original village, so he's like trying to find out who he is. So I think some people would probably find that emotional.
Well, because I cried Toy Story 3, no homo. That movie was sad.
That ending was mad sad, dude.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
The next film I didn't really like at all that much was X-Men First Class.
Everybody seems raving about that fucking movie.
It's getting high reviews, but I really don't see why it's getting high reviews. Like, being a fan, even the action, it doesn't feel particularly full of life. It feels like the Michael Bay film action. Like, it's mostly forgettable that as well. But a lot of people do seem to be saying, oh, so good and so that. But I'm just wondering, is it because of after X-Men 3 and Wolverine Origins, people's expectations have gone down or something? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I'm a bit of a X-Men nerd. So, like, when they said Moira MacTaggert was CIA and the changes they've done to the character, it might have played subconsciously an effect on my opinion.
Probably. Well, it's kind of weird that you're going to be sponsoring Kung Fu Panda 2 and not X-Men First Class, but all right.
No, that's quite strange. I've told what I've done. What about you, Corey?
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of PlayStation 3 games, mostly. Sony gave away a bunch of free stuff. And I bought Assassin's Creed 2 on there, which I actually really like. But I mostly wanted to talk about a game a lot of people don't really know about, Destiny 2, which is exclusive to Games on Demand and the 360. Oh. It's really cool. Like, I like the first one a lot more, but it's one of my favorite score attack games, like, of all time now, because, like, the scoring possibilities, like, they really blow my mind. Like you can go into the, like, billions and stuff, which kind of sucks because you have to kind of, like, read your score. Like, you can,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's such a fast game. But, it's a shmup, and I'm usually not into those. But,
what's your highest score?
Oh, I don't know. It's like, there's an achievement for, like, getting a 6 billion score, but I can only get, like, half that. So, I don't even know how to wrap my head around that. But, it's kind of cool. Like, I don't really know a lot about the game because, like, no one talks about it, and there's not that much information. So, it's kind of, like, you know, brings me back to the old days where, like, you had to learn how to do a Hadouken yourself. You know, stuff like
yeah.
that. But, anyway, that's mostly what I've been up to.
So would you you'd recommend it for any Shump fan, yeah?
I'm not sure. It's kind of, I'd say get the first one instead. But, it's really cool. I like it a lot.
So we're moving on to the what this podcast is about, I guess, since the title
yep.
references it. But Sega getting hacked?
Sega gets hacked. I suppose I'm meant to open this. It's actually kind of strange. I mean, who'd want to hack Sega? It's almost like, what have they done except for ruin Sonic the Hedgehog? I really can't think of anything else that you'd want to hack Sega for.
It's right after that Shinobi announcement, so it has something to do with those horses. What do you think about it? I mean,
It's kind of everyone's getting hacked now. I mean, you had You've had Sony, you had the FBI, you've had Nintendo, you've had Epic Games, you've had Citibank, you've had even the International Monetary Fund. It's basically anyone and everyone's getting hacked right now. It's
You think
like this
you think it's
new.
as you think it's as bad as the mainstream media is making it seem?
The hacking, I mean, with null security, most of their hacking is they're just bringing down websites. They're not actually hacking into databases. So I wouldn't really think that they are actually hacking into websites, or else the FBI would probably be put, or CIA would probably be putting more effort into finding them. So I think the media might be blowing it up a bit, but I just want to know why is everyone being hacked all of a sudden.
That's I don't know. Corey, what
I
do you
mean,
think?
well, the that Sony stuff, like, I thought it was funny they were a different chain of them was hacked like every other day, like, but I think it's a different group of people. Like each time, they're kind of like, oh, I don't know, these guys are cool, I guess I'll do that too, kind of thing.
Yeah,
But
'cause the other thing is like the media, like even now, even if the hacks aren't by anonymous, they would just think it's anonymous. But anonymous isn't a group; it's just an individual who just happens to call himself in anonymous.
Yeah. And usually when it's the anonymous group, they don't really do anything like super harmful unless you did something to them. It's kind of like the worst they're gonna do is send like a big box of condoms to your grandmother or something. But like I don't think I think people are kind of like panicking too much. Like I'm not really worried that like some guy in like Spain or whatever knows where I live. Like I don't know how that's gonna affect me much, but yeah.
What about you, Ben?
I would have to say it just was only a matter of time. All these developers got hacked all of a sudden. Like there's a lot of game developers getting hacked right now and publishers and stuff. And I don't understand why, but I guess it's just a cool thing to do right now among certain people. It sucks though, because Sega.com is still down, and there's so many articles I want to post to like make fun of like certain people and certain stuff. Kind of a bummer. But what can you do?
I'm actually surprised that like Sega hasn't been hacked before, just because I don't know, it always seems to me like they have flimsy security. I don't know why. But
All those
yeah,
games
actually.
leaked.
they have upgraded their security, and I'm surprised that when I read the letter that they don't even keep pass they don't even keep credit cards on their servers. Like they have an outside source doing it now, which is
They
I guess.
just don't trust themselves. That's why.
And I mean that's a really I think that's really smart. I mean, they don't have to take, they are, every the company that they have takes responsibility for it, and they don't have to do that kind of crap. And they also encrypted passwords, which is actually pretty non-Sega-like, I would assume. But I think they did a good job. I think they did a good job. I mean, the only thing that went out was like our birthdays, our like real names. Is like, who gives a shit about that? And I didn't even know I had a Sega Pass actually, and I'm surprised that 1.3 million people have Sega passes.
Yeah, I am too. That
You
really
wanted to
surprised
get
me how many
more?
people affected.
What Sega needs to do with Sega Pass is make it more like Uplay. That'd be awesome.
I haven't even signed up for that.
But
So,
that's another topic. So,
I take it we're done with this section, is it?
yeah, let's talk about Rise of Nightmares gameplay trailer.
Right. Rise of Nightmares, gameplay trailer just recently announced. New game being made by CS3. So, they've been responsible for the majority of Sega's RPG output in the last few years, including stuff like Fire-Crew Chronicles and Seventh Dragon, stuff like that. Corey, what do you think of Rise of Nightmares' latest gameplay trailer?
I didn't see it.
Well, then I guess that's done. Let's go to the next one. Me.
Well,
George.
I'm not saying I'm not interested or anything, but it's kind of hard for me to get like super excited for Kinect now. Like, I don't know. I think the concept of Kinect is really cool, but you can't really. I don't know. It's kind of like an infant times. Like they don't really know what to do with it yet. And this is, Rise of Nightmares seems more of like an experimental game. Like, it looks. I think. I honestly think it looks pretty good. Like, I like how it has like little things like there's like a character screaming and you have to cover your ears. Like, I think that kind of stuff is pretty cool. But I don't know. It looks all right. But
George, you said it is the probably the best looking Kinect game you've seen. That's like when you think of stuff like Child of Eden, that's high praise, or is it?
Well, I don't think Child of Eden is actually a Kinect game. Like, people are like billing it as a Kinect game, but like you could play it with a controller, and it's going to become the PS3. So I don't consider that a Kinect game. I consider that like it plays. You know, I guess people say it plays better with Kinect or whatever, but I don't consider it a Kinect game. I just consider it a Kinect-enabled game. So I think this is like the best Kinect-only game, exclusive. You know, so yeah. I think it looks really great. I think all the ideas are there. I just the only thing I'm worried about is the controls, basically, because I don't know if I trust Kinect, and I'm not really into the whole motion thing. But I like the style. It reminds me a lot of like Hostel, like meets like the House of the Dead art style.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Totally,
it's very influenced by House of the Dead, obviously. And, I don't know, it looks pretty solid, I think. Graphics could use some work, obviously, but compared to other Kinect games, it's still pretty solid.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we'll move on to me. On my own opinion, it did, when I first saw it, I thought it might be like Overkill, a spin-off of the House of the Dead.
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't end up being like that, but that's what our star reminded me of. It's actually done by, how do you pronounce his name? Yude, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of Panzer Dragoon. Ueda. Yeah, Ueda. Yeah. Of Panzer Dragoon fame, and he's the director of it, so, I mean, the art style should be good throughout the game.
It's very gritty. They really look like.
Yeah, and it's quite disturbing, I suppose. But, I mean, obviously, I don't have a Kinect at all, so I've only got PlayStation 3 and Wii, so I won't be able to play it. But the art style did intrigue me, but overall, I don't think I'll be losing any sleep over not being able to play it, although it would be nice to play it. What about you, Shadow Legend? What do you think?
I would definitely say that the art style, I think, looks cool. It reminds me of, it kind of like Sin and Punishment 2. It reminds me of like an old 90s arcade game, and I think that's part of the charm, and I think that's pretty cool looking. I like who's making it. I think that's promising too. I'm surprised to learn that it's actually being made by a top tier studio in Sega.
Yeah,
it's
kind of weird that Sega didn't really tell us the name of the director and shit until like E3.
Yeah,
a year after it was announced.
Yeah, and it's good. And then the only thing the only thing I don't like is the fact that it's a Kinect game. Because, like, I don't get the appeal of the Kinect. I don't understand how pretending to walk around, like, that doesn't make you feel like you're really walking around in a mansion. Like, that doesn't do anything. I don't see the point. But I guess if you have a Kinect, it's probably a cool game to buy. I'm probably not going to buy a Kinect for it, but I hope it's good.
Didn't you, Ben, you were the one that said that when you reviewed Condemned, you said it would have been a lot better if it was a Wii game.
A Wii game, yeah, but like that, I wouldn't pay $150 extra to like play it. Like Kinect, yeah, with like swing melee weapons and stuff. Like actually turning around and stuff, and like pretending to walk around your room. Like I kind of like to chill out and play video games and kind of like lie on a couch. And like with the Wii, you can do that with the Wii remote, but with the Kinect, you actually have to like stand up. And who wants to stand up and play a video game? I don't get it.
All right, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I don't get it.
All right, well, I think that wraps
and
this
you,
up.
More complaint. You can't play it in the dark.
Okay,
so who plays a horror game in like date? That's it.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. And you know, someone of my complexion will like not be picked up by Kinect at all.
That's true.
Well, I want to say like the House of the Dead Overkill for PlayStation Move is coming out around the same time, actually. And, like, they're both really close to Halloween. I think that's going to be really cool for Sega. Like, they can have, like, a really cool Halloween event.
Hope they have a community party for Halloween. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Like, I think they could really, like, do do really good with this Halloween if they like really try to sell them, even though they're on different platforms. Like they could say like, we have the best horror games on like each platform. Like,
yeah. Actually, I think they sold the original Overkill as well, like that, and it did very well in the UK. So I mean, lightning can strike three times. In fact, for Sega, maybe.
Talking about new platforms or having the best game in a platform, Sega launching their PlayStation Vita, whatever you're saying.
Vita
team. They're doing a brand new IP. I don't know if it's a brand new IP. It's a brand new game, though.
No, Mike Hayes, confirmed it's a brand new IP. So it is a new series coming up.
Well, so tell us what you think, Aki.
Well, a bit of background information. I'm sure some people will be wondering. The team's actually based in the same area as the original, as the Sega Racing Studio, which was closed down because someone had the brilliant idea of releasing Sega Rally on the same day as Halo 3.
That was my idea, actually.
And it has about 7 or 6 members from the original team heading up this new team.
You gotta admit, Sega Rally was a better racing game than Halo 3.
I can't disagree. Actually, I don't know. I don't want to be controversial in this on this podcast.
All right then. You want to tell us more about the team then?
Yeah, there's about 6 or 7 from the original team in there, so they have pedigree to develop great games. I mean, Mike Hayes and I think it was Gary Dunn or something. I think that was the VP of marketing at Sega, said that the new IP like has all this great new stuff that makes them excited it's coming, but it could just be normal PR talk. But I am expecting a good game from them. The other thing is Sega's like strongly supporting the Vita now with that and Virtua Tennis, and also 3 more unannounced games. And I'm imagining they're all in house. So if Vita gets like a Yakuza game, I'd have to swallow the expensive price and buy it.
It's not too expensive.
Oh, it's expensive for traditionally a handheld.
Yeah. All right.
Expensive, but yeah, you get the idea. Ben, what about you?
All right. Well, yeah, it's cool. I'm glad to see Sega making more new IP. I can't wait to see more of it. Not much else to say. It's hopefully going to be an awesome game. The PS Vita is pretty powerful, so I definitely give Sony credit for that. So I think they can do cool stuff.
Corey.
Yeah. I think it's kind of pathetic. Like Vita already has like a better lineup of games than 3DS, and 3DS has Shinobi and like Zelda and everything. Like, come on. But I don't know. I'm not really excited for Vita. I think it has some cool stuff. Like a lot of people give like a lot of flack to the touch pad on the back, but I think that has like a lot of potential. I think people are really underestimating that part specifically. But I don't know. I hope it's not too gimmicky of a game. And I'm kind of... I could see a Yakuza game coming to it. I don't know. It's cool that, you know, Sega's always on top of like every new platform. And I like to see them continue that. So I'm excited, but I can't really... I'm interested in buying a Vita.
I have to agree. I think the new team is gonna. I want to see what the art style and stuff is gonna be like, and I think that Sega usually does pretty good when they do Sega Europe games. So when they do Sega America games, they've been kind of shit, like Iron Man 2, Iron Man, Golden Axe, Beast Riders.
I don't think it's going to be.
And I think Sega Europe usually handles their stuff pretty well, like, quality-wise. Hmm. Like, Sumo Digital does pretty good stuff. And I think there's Total War series and stuff have all been like pretty highly rated. So I think this team should hopefully, release some quality content. I mean, they've had some shit. They had some shit games like, you know, what's that game called? Storm Riders.
Stormrise.
Yeah, that game was fucking bullshit. I could tell that game from day one it was gonna be bullshit. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, right now because of this new studio, I mean, under Sega Europe, they've got Creative Assembly in the UK and the Sega Australia branch, which was also Creative Assembly.
Yeah.
And they've opened up another Creative Assembly branch somewhere in, I think, the Midlands of England, but I can't recall, that's doing the Alien Survival horror game. And then you've got Sport Interactive and this one, this new team. So they've got five good teams now. So hopefully they can, amongst themselves, some of them can raise up their games and make really great games for us in the future.
I want to see them. I want to see them do more American teams. I've noticed that they have no developers in America.
Yeah, it's really bad that the only team they really had is Secret Level. I mean, it's not just that. Have you seen Sega America's HQ?
Yeah, I've been there. I mean, I've been there the old one. I don't know. I heard they moved now.
Now compare this to Sega Europe's HQ, which is like a 10-story building.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Sega America.
Yeah.
Sega America only had, like, two floors. Like, what's up with that?
They shared the building, too. I mean, when I went there last time, I think it was the same place they used to film X-Play. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in here, like, Sega Europe, they've got it on... Well, I live quite close to it, actually. Great West Road, which connects West London to Central London and East London. So, like, a million people a day probably go by, well, more than a million, probably I'll say about 3 or 4 million people a day will go past that building, and always you'll see, like, there's on one side of the building there's a giant Sega logo and the other side it's like Sonic. It's like, why does the Sega America put as much effort?
Well, I guess they're just doing digital stuff now. It would be cool to have a few digital teams bought out, but whatever.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I mean they've got Spiral Knights now, and Kingdom Quest, which are like really popular. So if they get, I don't know, a few more teams, they could actually see themselves as a quite good massively multiplayer online RPG publisher as well.
Talking about, well, we're moving on to a rumor now. Steam, I don't know if this is a rumor, I guess. I don't know, we just qualify this as a rumor. Steam has gotten... leaked Sonic Generations, so there will be a PC version. Is am I the only one that nobody knows anything about the story?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, Ben, would you buy a PC version of Sonic Generations?
Nah, I don't PC game. I don't have a good enough PC.
That doesn't make you excited, though.
Well, no, it's cool. I'm glad that like as many people as possible can play it because it's good. At least the demo was really good.
Yeah, well, you play the demo. Aki?
I don't have a capable enough PC, but what I'm actually very excited that it's going to enable is now that people can actually play a Sonic game on a decent frame rate.
That's true.
Which we haven't had for over a decade. So, like, it's not just 30 frames per second. Some people can put up to 60 frames per second. So, it's like, you're going to be having a very good experience on that. So, that's what, I mean, it's probably going to become the best version of the game as long as they don't gip it and it's not glitchy and all that. Which has a chance to be, considering it's a Japanese product and for some reason they don't seem to bother with PC porting.
A lot of Sonic PC games are really done very poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adventure, there
yes.
you go. There's your answer then.
Yes, I think he's right. I'm not gonna say anything else.
People are talking about like they're really excited, like oh they're gonna make mods. They're gonna make, even if the game sucks, like they're gonna make like really cool mods. I don't really think so. If you look at Sonic Adventure, like the PC version, a lot of people make mods for that, but it's always like. Never anything good. It's always like weird fan characters and like
Sonic Recolors.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I think like, I've looked at a bunch of mods and I can only find like six or five people who I would consider coherent designers of levels. Otherwise, they're traditionally quite terrible.
It's a really shame, big shame, because like there's really so much you could do with that, but like I don't really, I can't really see the Sonic fan base. Nothing against them. Well, actually, a lot against them, but I can't really see them. I can't really see them modding really cool stuff like, you know, a lot of the bigger
people. You know, the first thing they're gonna try to mod into that is
Shadow.
Well, it's either Shadow.
Shadow.
And I was gonna ask for Big the Cat so I could play as Big the Cat really fast.
And then I'll probably also think about putting Modern Sonic in Classic Sonic stages, and probably even, I don't know, some other bad stuff like putting Silver in the games.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome, actually. Silver's so badass.
Glitchy telekinetic powers.
We can put Cool the Hedgehog in this game now.
Oh, dude, finally, my creation comes to life. My fanfics. My two fans on my fanfics that read my fanfics would be very excited. I don't have any fanfics, by the way. I think it's kind of weird that Sega, it's obviously going to come, all this proof, and Sega's like, no, we can't discuss this at this time. Like, really? Like, you guys can't just tell us it's going to come to the PC? Like, I really, I don't know, like, they're thinking this is going to be, like, their ace up their sleeve, like, they'll announce it, like, in September, and like, to hype up the game. Like, nobody's going to care that it's going to come to Steam, you know?
Well,
the people that care are going to be, like, 10 people, like...
I mean, I know PC gamers don't buy a lot of things. No, not this to PC games. But I think with this announcement that it's going to come to PC as well, I think it more or less confirms Sonic Generations probably going to be... I mean, if as long as not something happens at the last minute and it becomes an abnormal piece of shit, that this version, that Sonic Generations will probably be the best-selling Sonic game in almost a decade.
I hope. One more thing about the game. Is this running on the Hedgehog engine, like the Unleashed, or is it like a custom engine again?
They've confirmed it's running on the Hedgehog engine.
Yeah, last time they hyped up the Hedgehog engine. This time they like barely mentioned it.
Yeah. Like I think they've realized, because last time they were like hyping it up and then people get to play it and like you're in Adabat and you're like only 14 frames per second. Like nice. Like
I seen some development screenshots when they were playing it on the PC or whatever, I guess, you know, in the development, you know, more RAM on the you know, whatever. It looked really, really nice, so I'm kinda excited to see what it could do on the PC if they actually try to go all the way, you know. It should be pretty some pretty sexy screenshots coming out of that. But go on.
Well, a lot of the concepts for the Hedgehog engine are really cool. Like, one of the biggest things is if light is passing through a thin object, it'll come out that color. Like, if you're looking under a red umbrella, like the ground will be red.
That's pretty shadow. Cool. That's some really Pixar shit.
Yeah. They kind of don't really focus on that. Like I can understand the processing power is kind of like not there yet.
I just like the Sega's thinking. It's like, all right, we're gonna make a game that you're going like 120 miles per hour every single fucking time. We should make umbrellas light pass through it like red and like okay. Yeah. So and then but who cares if the frame rate fucks up like. And we should put physics on everything? It's like, dude, really? You guys have to have fucking... They should have, like, dumbed down some stuff, I thought, to put up the frame rate a little bit.
Well, it's not that bad as, like, Sonic 06, which actually was going to be the PC version as well.
Sonic 06 is my favorite game, by the way.
Well,
I wanted to go on record, on audio record.
I didn't realize we had Cube. We had Cube in this...
I don't know why you guys are hating on him, dude. That game is fabulous. I mean, oh, wait, I thought we were talking about the first Sonic game, the one on Genesis. Oh, never mind. Sorry. I was fucking confused. I'm sorry. Oh, sorry.
The physics engine of Sonic 06. It's just, what were they thinking? Like if you, like, there's so many things wrong with that game. You can make, like, five full podcast episodes.
Okay, all I'm going to say is there's a mini game where you play as fucking Silver and you're supposed to put apples in a fucking...
I remember that.
In a barrel, and it's like impossible. I don't understand how to do it. It was like, okay.
That game made the worst use of Havoc I've ever seen, the Havoc of Incidents. Like, it made the worst use of it ever, I think. Terrible.
So funny, though.
If I was a company, I would like make them take my logo off their game.
Yeah, dude. Holy shit.
Well, it was so funny, though. Like, everybody was saying, like, oh, Sonic needs physics again. Like, he needs, you know, momentum and everything. The only thing that didn't have physics was the character. Everything else had physics. Like,
that's
even
true.
The ring.
That's a very good point.
You would get hit with your ring. You would get hit and drop your rings. And then there's an explosion nearby. All your rings get blown off, like, the level, and you're like, ugh!
And then, you know what I hated? When you had to pause between, like, why do you have to pause? Like the levels were too long? Just really shitty development. Anyway, fuck it. I don't want to talk about Sonic anymore, because we're going off to Sonic 06. We're going to be on it for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, I think it's time to move on to our next section, which is the recently released Binary Domain trailer, produced by the Yakuza team, and head honcho of the team would be none other than Toshiro Nagoshi.
My hero.
George,
my hero.
Yeah.
Fucking hero. I think it's pretty... I think the game is getting better trailers. It's like... I think Nagoshi was sitting there and he's like writing up a script for the first trailer, and he's like all like laughing, like giggling like a little girl with a tan. And he's like, oh... He's like, what? He's like, I'm totally gonna make everybody hate this game, and then I'm gonna fucking blow their mind. It's basically what he's doing. Like, I thought the second trailer, the action trailer, was like, oh, man, I want to play this. First trailer was like, you know what, I'm skipping this piece of shit. I think the game's turning like a 180, like, totally, compared to what it used to be. And
yeah,
hopefully they drop the first trailer. Everything we know about the first trailer, they drop it. But,
yeah, that was
yeah.
But what I've heard, it's like, oh, yeah, people could do whatever they want, like your team members, because they have their own agenda. And I'm thinking to myself, like, then why are you guys calling it a team-based shooter? Like, I mean, I thought you guys were supposed to be working for survival, no? Well, whatever. I like it. That's all. I think the voice acting is fine, a little cheesy. I think Sega always has a little cheesy voice acting, even, like, on, let's see. What's that fucking... Oh, Vanquish had a kind of cheesy voice acting, too. Like, everybody sounded like typical American, like, voice actors. Like, just really deep. What's going on here? Oh, no, let's go! No, fuck that shit. Well, that's my impression of Vanquish.
You won't be winning an Oscar for that.
Probably not. Not for that.
So, Shadow Legend, what about you? I mean,
I'm gonna be a negative one. Just I don't. Sorry, man. But
section of the fucking podcast.
Look,
right,
dude,
now
the game does not look that good visually. I know I'm like the only person on the site who thinks that, but honestly, the graphics are not very good.
I agree. They're not like gonna fucking win any fucking best graphics awards, but I think they're fine. I mean, the game, but
I'm wondering. Yeah, go ahead.
Go on.
I'm wondering who it's targeting, because if it's targeting action game fans, like, the way the dialogue is integrated into the game, like, your characters all just stand around. It's not even cutscenes. They just stand around talking for, like, 5 minutes, and you get to choose a dialogue option to kind of form your team's relations. But action game fans are going to be wondering, like, what the hell? Why can't I move my character around when I'm just standing
there? You play Yakuza, man. You know he loves his manly, long cutscenes.
Yeah, I know. The cutscenes I'm excited about. The cutscenes look good, but like just the bits where the characters just stand around talking and it's not a cutscene, you just hear dialogue and they don't move or anything.
Isn't that like I was going to ask Corey anyway, but it's more like Mass Effect, and that game seems to do well enough.
If it's really well done like Mass Effect, yeah, but I don't think they're trying to do an RPG.
As long as it's optional, like Mass Effect, where they let you like dive in deeper to the characters if you wanted to, I think that'd be fine. Mm-hmm. But if they're gonna force it on you, then it's like no thanks.
I'm cautiously optimistic as well. Like, I'm interested, I'm optimistic, I hope it's good. It's new IP, it's Nagoshi, I hope it's good. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Corey?
My opinion.
Oh, Aki's
Oh.
gonna go. Aki's gonna
Oh,
go.
don't push me aside, George.
Oh, no, go. I'm okay with listening to you talk about Nagashi games. We're gonna be here for like an hour, but go on.
Okay. Well, I mean, with the recent, like you were mentioning, all the trailers have been like, the first one was like, oh, well, do not want at all. Keep it away. And ever since then, the game's like gone like, whoa, it actually looks quite good and enjoyable. And since we all know Nagoshi's done a good, his team have done quite a few fantastic games. One thing I'm really looking forward to, and each trailer seems to have shown it, is like the big boss battles of the game.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say I'm waiting for them to take their shirts off for no reason. Like Yakuza games?
Actually, well, I was actually looking forward to the transsexual robots, but whatever.
Oh, that's true, that too.
But like, there's probably going to be, because I said about there's about six chapters, and each chapter will have either two or three big boss battles. So at the very least, we're looking at 12 big boss battles in the game. So I mean, I'm excited at that. One thing that I really like in the trailers is like when you see the robots and you destroy them, it's not like all pre-planned. Like you see in a lot of games, robots all lose their body parts like at set places. They don't like lose it where you shoot them, their parts don't come flying out. But in each of the trailers, we see their body parts come flying out. And as well, the gameplay, another thing I was worried about is how many locals we'll have and will it seem varied enough. I mean, we've now seen a virtual reality strip club, which is weird. Fighting on top of the rooftops, fighting in a ruined city and an underground aquatic base. So hopefully they'll keep adding a bunch of other locals, so it'd be an interesting experience and doesn't get repetitive after just the first mission. So that's what I think. What about you, Corey? I'll just add on. I think the graphics in Shadow Legend was talking about. I think for a Japanese game, they're quite good. I mean, obviously Sega's not going to be able to compete with, say, like EA or Ubisoft
I
now.
have to agree. I think they're the same caliber of like Shadows of the Damned. I mean, I don't think Shadow of the Damned has that great graphics either. I actually think it looks a little bit better than Shadows of the Damned, but I think
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, you don't think it'll have like super AA graphics if it's a fun game. But I mean, it helped though if they did, but they
Yeah,
don't.
I definitely think for a Japanese game, it's got good graphics. Because I mean, obviously that's not a high compliment considering how far back Japan is. But
Yeah.
you have to keep in mind Japanese games, unlike American games, they can't put for 80 or $90 million into the budget.
Or like
Like it.
I hear the Assassin's Creed team is like Ubisoft has like five like 10 teams working on it or some crap. It's like, dude, this is ridiculous.
You know,
That's some Shinryu status right there.
exactly. So, for what it is, I think the graphics are good enough.
You think it looks as good as Vanquish?
No.
Yeah, that's not a problem with it.
You think it looks as good as Vanquish, Jackie?
It's kind of, I mean, one thing difficult to remember is the demo Nagoshi presented is pre-alpha, so it hasn't even, well, they said it's pre-alpha, so it hasn't even gone into testing, so
I think that's a
I don't know
pretty
how
good
much
idea
more.
what's going to look like in the final product. Probably run better, but I think it's going to look the same. But we'll see.
Let's see. Well, like we'll see. I mean, it does things that Vanquish doesn't do. Like Vanquish is set in one particular area, while this game is like a bit more open world. And Corey actually knows someone else who's played it, and he offered some interesting things about the top hats. So I'll leave it to Corey to tell you a lot about that. Corey?
Well, yeah, on that those top hats that we're talking about, that's how we describe them. But you know how those robots are flying around in those cylinder things? They
Yeah,
kind of
talk a little bit louder though.
yeah, they look like top hats.
Yeah.
Yeah, like well, I was talking to somebody and he said you can. Well, something I'm really impressed with the game is the gameplay looks really vertical. Like you can go up in a building and like shoot out the window and everything, and then like jump out of it or whatever.
Fuck yeah.
Somebody who played it told me that you can jump off and grab onto those things and like fly around on them.
That's
And
badass.
I thought that sounded incredible. Like, that got me really pumped.
Like, that's like the number one thing I want to do in the future, shoot out windows and then jump on flying things. Oh,
yeah,
man.
But, I don't know. People are talking about the cutscenes and stuff, and I think they look good and everything. And I know they'll be awesome because, like, you know, Yakuza games, whatever. But I'm kind of worried because, like, when I do get to play the game, and I really think I'm gonna like it. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be playing it with somebody. And when you're playing a co-op game, like,
hey, bro, you want to play with me?
Yeah, but no, like, when you're playing a co-op game like this, it kind of sucks to like have to sit through like a really long cutscene when you just like you got together with a friend or whatever.
I think I kind of assume that like Nagashi knows this, and I kind of assume that the campaign mode like co-op would be different.
I think
than the single player.
I'm not 100% certain, but I am pretty sure what I read was Nagashi said that the campaign and co-op are going to be totally separate because he doesn't feel that you can make the campaign into a co-op, and with the characters you've got, it's like not suitable for co-op. So I think the co-op mode might be a bit different, but I'm not 100% sure. We'll probably find out more at Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah. Well, like Uncharted and stuff, that has like its own separate like co-op campaign. Which, that's pretty cool, too, but I don't know.
Two's co-op campaign was, like, not really a campaign. It was, like, you and another friend, like, play a scene from the game, like, let's say one where the tank is coming in, and you just shoot bad guys and, like, try to go to a, you know, section, like, together.
Mm.
It was cool, and it, like, kind of, like, took parts from the game that were exciting and put two players without a bunch of cutscenes and stuff.
Yeah.
So well, I thought it was pretty cool done.
What do you think of the? I was gonna ask, what do you think of the trailer itself, Corey?
Oh yeah, I really liked the Western trailer a lot more. But and the newest the story trailer, that was I just generally think the game looked really cool all around. I didn't like the first trailer either, but I don't know. I really like I actually like the art direction a lot. I know that like people are gonna be like what, but like something I really like about Yakuza games especially is like the art direction's really bright. Like even when you're in a shadow, like it's always like really bright. Like you can be in like a really dark back alley and like Kazuma's outfit is like still kind of like glowing and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't like big HD games like something like Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts is a good example. Like that game's like beautiful, but like when you get into a shadow or something, you can't see shit. Like I think that's what's the point of that? Like I don't know.
Just fucking turn the contrast up on your TV, bro, and the brightness.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm just hoping Binary Domain has stuff like that, and it looks really bright, and I like that. But yeah.
Yeah. The art direction, I mean, when I originally saw it, I was thinking, not sure if I want, but I've been a bit open, and you really, when you look at, I mean, it's mainly because of the uniform they wear, they look a bit generic. I mean, if you give them all clothes from the Yakuza series, you might not say, they don't look that generic anymore, maybe except for the token black guy who seems to be on steroids or something.
Who's writing the game?
They haven't confirmed who's writing it. Because
I know the Yakuza games are like the main series are written by like like some guy that like writes books or some crap, and then like
the third game was written by somebody else.
And then Nagashi did
the third and fourth were written by someone else.
Okay.
But Nagashi always writes the last chapter. He says that.
It kind of makes sense now that I think.
That's why they're all the same.
Like that's why they all turn out the same because he doesn't want to write it again. So, oh come on, take off, go on top of fucking Millennium Tower, take off shirt. That's all he writes. And they're like, oh, all right, I guess we'll roll with this. And then when they tell him they can't do it, he just, like sits in his room all like mad. He's just like all stubborn, like no, we're doing it that way. I don't care. Who's team leader? Who's the tannest one in this building? Me.
Yeah, it gets really weird in Yakuza 4. This is not really a spoiler because you kind of expect it, but at the end of the game, like almost all the characters are on the Millennium Tower, and they all take off their shirts, and it's like there's like eight guys on a building taking off their shirts.
My favorite part is that like Kazuma's fight did not make any sense. Like he did not have to fight. Like all they did was disagree. He's like, "Why are you here?" And the cousin was like, "Why are you here?" And they just take their shirts off, find out, start fighting. It's like, bro, you could have just asked, like, "Well, dude, all right, man." Like left. Like, why would you care? It's like I don't go in the bathroom and like somebody's in the bathroom and I'm like, "Bro, I'm taking my shirt off already. Come out and fight me."
I like Tiger's fight. I'm not gonna say who it is or anything, but like he really like the guy he fights. He says, "Oh, he." Compliments him on his muscles.
He should have taken off. Sure, that's what you should have done.
But enough about that.
Okay. Let's talk about the classic talk, because we're never going to get to the classic talk. This is already going a little longer than expected. We're going to be talking this week about Vector Man, since we're already talking about robots. Yeah, here's some clapping over there.
Good choice.
You know, I thought we hated Western games. Oh, I guess Vector Man. Well, Vector Man is a good Western game. Okay. I want to say, I think Vector Man is probably one of the most underrated Sega Genesis games. Like, every time somebody talks about Sega Genesis games, it's usually like, you know, Gunstar Hero or, I guess, Shining Force 2, you know, the classics. I think Vector Man is a pretty good game. I think it's a little hard. But it's a lot of – I mean, when I first used to play the game, I always wanted to, like, just run at it, you know, like run and gun.
Yeah,
you can't run and gun in that game because there's so many obstacles. I always had to be more careful in that game, I've noticed. Sure. But I also really like the music in that game. I think that music is, like, really good.
Sure.
Corey? Corey usually has a lot to say about classic games, so –
Oh well, I really like Vector Man games. I don't really think it's underrated. I think it's kind of pushed aside to the other ones, I guess. But there's been times where like I'd have a conversation with somebody about Vector Man, and like somebody would come up to me, is like, "Oh yeah, I love Vector Man." Like it's just like some weird guy like in his 30s, and like, "Oh yeah, I remember Vector Man."
I think the problem with Vector Man was that it was released too late into the Genesis lifecycle to get like a huge audience.
Yeah, the second one came out in 1996. Like, no one cared about the Genesis anymore by then.
Yeah.
But, what? Should have just made it for that.
Yeah.
That's true.
I want more. I'd really love a new Vector Man. Like, I think Sega kind of messed up with... Because I think that's, like, a really profitable character. I think people really like Vector Man. They would get really excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, Vector Man, I mean... When you look at him, it's such a, it's very different from what we got, but it's like a cool type of character, like Sonic the Hedgehog level. But they, I don't know why they never went on with Vector Man, because when I first played it as a child, I mean, it was hard as nails and I couldn't complete it. But I was like, oh, this guy character is so interesting. I mean, it's like, what? He's a garbage man.
Yeah, I always wanted to make a garbage can, but like the lid to be like Vector Man shaped, so it's all green. Yeah. And then I thought it'd be pretty cool. That'd have been a pretty cool promotional item, actually.
Yeah. That would. George should become marketing director for Sega.
I should. Then I don't know. I don't think my games would do that great, especially in the mainstream. I'd be like releasing like Comic Zone and fucking. Vector Man. That's probably would be the two games I would work on. The first thing I get in, I'd be like comic books. Just well, that kind of makes sense actually. That's an easy marketable fucking thing. I'm actually surprised they haven't brought back Comic Zone actually.
Yeah. That's another one that they probably like. Those kind of things like they could be really popular right now. Like if you made a new one of either of those right now, I think they would be really big hits, regardless of their quality.
What do you guys think about the like, PS2 version of Vector Man?
That's a different game. Who cares?
Remember that?
Shut up.
Yes.
I think
killing that game was the best thing Sega's ever done.
I agree. That would have been a disaster.
Well, I think, like, if they really need to get like a new one out to like really establish the series again, because if you wait too long, no one's like, in 20 years, I don't think many people are going to really give a shit about Vectorman anymore, which is a shame, but like they just got to get it out there again, I think.
I think doing a part B, but like on Xbox Live and like PSN exclusive, I think that would be the way to go. I mean, they did it for Sonic 4, which is kind of weird because I don't think people are crying about not having enough Sonic in their life. So I think they should be focusing on small titles, and it's obvious that people all, like, you know, the online community get excited about shit like that. I mean, you know, when Guardian Heroes, just the port was announced, people got crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, another interesting thing is, like, all these Japanese publishers, like, want to, like, target these Western gamers, but Sega have, like, a treasure trove of games they made for Western markets specifically that they could just unlock, but for some strange reason they seem think it's a better idea to give Afterburner to some random Western development house.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird because, like, I guess one of the biggest complaints of the I was going to say talk about Duke Nukem, not really talk about it because I haven't played it, but most of the reviews I've read, I guess, saying that like, it's too much, like, it's like it feels like a 1999 game. Like, what kind of did you expect? Like, I wonder if people would complain. I think they're complaining because, you know, first-person shooters in 1999 weren't that great compared to now. I mean, you don't have to, you know, as many options and stuff. And I think platformers, 2D platformers, are still sellable. Like new Super Mario Bros. Is a great example, and Sonic 4 is another great example. I mean, even though people hated the physics, a lot of people still like that kind of game, you know. And then you also have that
still
new
quite a good seller.
And then you have the new Rayman Origins that a lot of people were going crazy about, but I think it's gonna fail.
That's a retail game now.
Yeah, it's a retail game now, and I think it's gonna fail just because Ubisoft didn't make it a $20 like PSN title.
I don't know.
We'll see. But we'll see when it comes out. But I have a feeling it's not gonna hit a million or anything. I'm buying it though. I don't know why. I just feel like
I definitely with Vectorman. We've been talking about this. What Sega can do. We have actually talked about the game itself.
Yes.
With Vectorman, it's one of, I mean, it's hard to recommend it to everyone because the game is quite difficult.
I don't think it's super, super hard.
I think it's super long, though.
I don't think so either. Like,
it's like 25 levels, isn't it? Like, I forgot how much levels it had.
It's got a lot of levels, but it's like, if you put your mind to it, you can complete the game in 15 minutes. So the levels aren't, like, really long. It's not difficult in the sense that if you've played Vectorman before, but if you're going for your first time playing Vectorman, you'll probably die straight. Probably before you even hit the boss, you'd have died a couple of times.
Yeah.
But like if you play Vectorman, if you've played a bit, like you always jump, double jumping and shooting everything you see. You should be fine.
When you double jump, like your boots hurt the enemies too, stuff like that, like little stuff like that. That's really cool.
I like how he transforms into shit like a grenade.
Oh yeah.
That's what I think. They could do so much cool stuff with that now. They could add so many cool transformations with new hardware.
Like he turns into a tornado in one level as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then he turns into a train or some shit too.
Yeah.
Silly stuff. Like it's really cool. Like
Best thing about it is the main villain of the game is a robot with a nuclear bomb as its head.
Well, I'm sure Japan really loved that shit.
It's a giant spider queen with instead of the back end of her, it's a giant brain. Like that's so stupid, but like that's awesome, you know? Like
Vectorman is just a great game that I'd recommend anyone to play it. If you die in the first level, don't worry. It'll come to you eventually, and you can play it for what it really is.
But one of the things that popped, you know, like when I first played it, I thought it was amazing of that game. Was the art style. The graphics were like, I guess they consider like Donkey Kong Country or whatever, Vector, whatever thing. But I thought it was pretty cool, like when you shot, like it had like a reflection on him and like all this weird stuff, like the way the lighting looks, it looks a lot different than 2D games. I always found it
the game flags. Those flags. Holy shit, those flags.
The game really did, I mean, for its time, it did really well graphically on the hardware. And the art styles that it had, it's just such a neat title. It's a shame Sega doesn't really want to revisit it as much. At least they put it in the Sonic Genesis Collection.
When I did my Secret Saturdays for Vector, I looked at pictures of it, and I was like, damn, it still looks nice. Even this day, it still looks nice. And the music is amazing. Like, Tidal Surge had the coolest soundtrack level ever, had the best music. Two was kind of hard. Two was really hard. Two was even harder than one, but I thought one was good. I beat it when I was a little kid, so people can do it. You just gotta set your mind to it.
Yeah, I agree. You know what I also hated? When I was gonna do the Sega sequel Saturday for 1 week, and I wrote it all out. It was a Vector Man one. Then I go to search, boom, he wrote it before. Like, I was like, oh man, I had to delete the whole thing and do another one.
That was the first one I did.
I was like, why didn't I just search instead of like writing it all up? Like, I just assumed nobody else liked Vector Man in the staff. Like, I'm the only one that would think of that. I'm all thinking I'm all clever and shit. I'm like, hell yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they bring it back, I wouldn't want it to be 3D and all that crap. I would like it to be 2D, you know, kind of like, you know, Rayman Origins. Like, I think Rayman was actually pretty good in 3D anyway, though, so can't complain. Yeah. But I think I'm pretty happy it's 2D again, though.
Yeah. Well, the 3D games are kind of like a slightly different style. I like how Rayman Origins is kind of like a blend of the 2D and 3D styles, kind of like what Sonic 4 tried to be, but kind of didn't really do good.
If I played, all I could think about every time I think of like Rayman in like third person, I would think like if Sega had to do a 3D version, they would do a third person shooter, and the third person shooter would remind me of like Infamous, where like how he shoots. Hmm. You know how he shoots, right, with his hand open?
Yeah.
It just reminds me of something like that's how Vector Man would shoot if he was third person.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to play that Vector Man, because that wouldn't be Vector Man. That'd be like playing Infamous, the first shooting.
I don't really care. I was talking to Aki about this before. We really think, like, how perfect would Vector Man be for Binary Domain?
Oh, yeah, you were talking about the DLC. This is why we actually added this on, so you could talk about the DLC idea.
That would just be perfect. Like, make a special Vector Man mode where you don't have to worry about, like, there's no teammates or whatever, and you can jump and everything instead. Like, I guarantee you, people would freak out and, like, fall in love with that game right away. Like,
you know what's going to happen, right?
Not Vector Man gameplay. Who cares? Just put him in there.
You know what's going to happen, right? Yeah. Somebody at Sega is going to be listening to this, and they're gonna pitch it to Nagashi, and Nagashi's like, you're right. We do need Super Monkey Ball in that game.
I love Super Monkey Ball. Put that in there too. I don't care.
I'm already tired of Super Monkey Ball. Damn it, man.
Have that that big black guy like roll up in a ball and like
grand entrance.
If you guys asked me like 2 years ago about Super Monkey Ball, I'd be like, man, it's a great franchise. Now I'm just sick of it. I'm like, I'm tired of it. I don't want to talk about it.
They're kind of but. So that's mostly Dimps' fault. Dimps has been making the new ones. The crappy.
Sega's fault for publishing them, that's what it is. They should be giving other franchises breaks, like Vector Man. There you go.
I don't know about Dimps, but who cares? I don't even care what a new Vector Man game's like. I just want a new one, kind of like Shinobi.
If they made a new Vector Man game, what would you want it to be? A PSN slash, you know, downloadable or handheld or whatever, or a full retail HD one?
I'd probably prefer. Well, yeah, I guess a retail one would be pretty cool. But I think you had it right on the nose with a downloadable game. I think that would be perfect for it.
Yeah, I'd go with the downloadable game unless they're like seriously thinking about making Vector Man one of the major franchises. Otherwise, a downloadable game would probably be the best option.
Ben?
Yeah, I didn't say it. I had a totally different opinion when I wrote that Sega Saturdays article. But honestly, I agree. I think if they just do a whole 2D one, I'd be totally happy. As long as it's like the first one, but it kind of advances the formula maybe and like kind of innovates it, not like Sonic 4, which was just kind of the same shit.
When I wrote it, I kind of use as an example Bionic Commando. I think Bionic Commando is like really like I wasn't even a fan of the first one, so I just played it. And when I played the demo, I was really into it because like I didn't Capcom mix like some pretty good gameplay, some pretty good level design, and then they mix up like funny dialogue.
Yeah.
And it was just pretty good, and I would assume that's kind of like what Vector Man would have been if he came back.
Yeah.
Like really cheesy one-liners and stuff.
Oh, I'd love that.
And like, I actually played Bionic Commando on the 3D version when they remade it after the PSN title and Xbox Live Arcade. And they kind of sucked. Like it was too repetitive. So I always think that it should have just kept it as a downloadable title.
I heard a lot of bad things about almost literally everything about that game.
It's not bad. It's just like controls don't work half the time, and like it's really repetitive. Like that's all you do is like shoot and like throw stuff at people over and over and over again.
I don't know if I want to spoil the story. Someone told me it's kind of really weird.
Nobody. We're gonna talk about the arm, right?
Yeah, that's right.
In the whole game, you're looking for your wife, all right? And at the end of the game, the guy's like, oh, you had your wife the whole time with you. Basically, his wife is his arm. Like,
what?
Yeah, like, wow. His wife, like turned into his arm or whatever, or some crap. And it's like, okay.
So
I was
I don't want to gross out our audience, but if you masturbate, isn't it technically sex then?
Yeah, technically, so. Well, why would you? I'm sorry. If I was him, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna jack off, and I had like a robot arm, and I had a human arm, I'd be like, I'm gonna go with the human arm.
Might be safer.
Yeah, it's like that robot hand looked really rough, like that little claw. I'm good, man.
Oh man, that's how I like it.
Also, have you guys ever noticed that Vector Man's like storyline is a lot like Wall-E from the Pixar movie?
Yeah, dude. That's what I noticed. Holy shit.
Like, same carbon robot in, like, Earth to, like, clean up the waste that we left.
Yeah.
That's the comparison ends there, but it's pretty much a setup for... That's, like, half the Pixar movie right there.
Something I want to mention about Vector Man is, I think it has really cool, like, Sonic-like level design. Not as good, but, like...
I thought you were going to say that, like, they should make a fucking Vector Man Pixar movie.
I'd be for that, but
I was like Wally, so they probably wouldn't do that.
But you were talking about like the grenade and stuff. Like you can get like a new ability and then like go back, and then like find like new stuff, like a new area and everything.
That's
but,
true.
But like you kind of had to rush. Like that game was like a lot faster in Sonic in a way because like the time limit like was actually like really really short and. Would die if you you didn't have like 10 minutes. You had like 3 minutes, and the levels were like long. So it was hard to explore, but like it was so much more satisfying if you had enough time and then you found all that stuff, you know. So
yeah.
I think Vector Man and Vector Man. It's just like it should have been a trilogy, to be honest. I think Saturn could have really used Vector Man, but I guess Sega was too busy going with the whole 3D, though. I think some of my favorite Saturn games were 2D games, though. I mean, perspective-wise.
Did you know there was a Comic Zone 2 being made for Saturn?
Wrote about it when I did the Comic Zone. I did a Sega sequel for it. Yeah, there's an interview about that on Sega 16, the site.
Yeah.
Really interesting about it. Like they wanted to make, he pitched it to Sega for a Saturn game, I guess, and it never got off the ground. But it was supposed to be 3D comic book thing.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing it was 2D somewhere. I don't know. But either way, that would I don't know why they canceled stuff like that.
I think
dropped
okay.
it.
I don't know why they did that.
One game that really reminded me of Comic Book Zone or Comic Zone was Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, I could kind of see.
We should probably have this a close or anything. Anybody wants to add anything? Of Vector Man?
I'm fine with everything that we've said about Vector Man, as long as we can all agree in its greatness.
Yeah, because then I'm going to be talking about Comic Book Zone for like another hour or shit.
Exactly. Yeah, we knew that was coming up.
Yeah, I was just going to get the haircut of the guy from Comic Book Zone, you know, shave the fucking sides and shit. So, if we're ready here, I'm going to go get my haircut.
So, I take it that closes up another podcast.
We should be back next week if anybody in this podcast wants to go next week.
We'll see.
Actually, next week we're doing a Summer Sonic podcast, so I think we're going to have the Summer Sonic people that went, which is only two people. Graham and Knuckles87 went. And they actually have some pretty good business cards, so if anybody sees them there, ask them for a business card.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, I'd really like the business cards. They're quite good.
Yeah, I'll probably do a post about them when they print them out. But, yeah. So we're done here.
Okay. Well, see you folks next time.
All right. Bye. Bye.
A police car and a screaming siren. Pneumatic drill and ripped up concrete. A baby wailing, a stray dog howling. The screecher brakes and lamplight blinking. That's entertainment. That's entertainment. A smash of glass and the rumble of boots. An electric train and a ripped up phone booth. Paced back to walls and the cry of a tomcat. Lights going out and I'm kicking the balls. I say that's entertainment. That's entertainment. La 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 la. La 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 la. Days of speed and slow time Mondays. Pissing down with rain on a boring Wednesday. Watching the news and not eating your tea. A freezing cold flat and that on the walls. I say that's entertainment. That's entertainment. Waking up at 6 a.m. on a cool warm morning. Opening the windows and breathing in petrol. An amateur fairy host in a nearby yard. Watching the telly and thinking about your holidays. That's entertainment. That's entertainment. La 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 la. And smoking cigarettes, cutting a warm guy and smelling stale perfume. A hot summer's day and sticky back tarmac. Feeding ducks in a park and wishing you were far away. That's entertainment. That's entertainment. Two lovers kissing amongst the scream of midnight. Two lovers missing the tranquility of solitude. Getting a cab and travelling on buses. Reading the graffiti about slashy's affairs. I say that's entertainment. That's entertainment.